The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 6. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 10th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kim te kama sura sparha mukunda manasa dvija adijahru mudam ragya anshuttatashya yatha itare Kinte kama sura sparha mukunda manaso dvija adijahrur mudam ragya chunditasya yate tare kinte kama sura sparha Mukunda manaso dvija adijahrur mudang ragya shunditasya yate tare kim what for te all those kama Objects of sense enjoyment, Sara, of the denizens of heaven, Sparha, aspirations, Mukunda Manasa, of one who is already God conscious, Dvija, O Brahmanas, Adijahru, could satisfy. Mudam, pleasure, Ragya, of the king, Chuditasya, of the hungry, Yatha, as it is, Itare, in other things. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmanas, the opulence of the king was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. Purport. There are two things in the world which can satisfy living beings. When one is materially engrossed, he is satisfied only by sense gratification. But when one is liberated from the conditions of the material modes, he is satisfied only by rendering loving service for the satisfaction of the Lord. This means that the living entity is constitutionally a servitor and not one who is served. Being illusioned by the conditions of the external energy, one falsely thinks that he thinks himself to be the served, but actually he is not served. He is the servant of the senses, like lust, desire, anger, avarice, pride, madness, and intolerance. When one is in his proper senses by attainment of spiritual knowledge, he realizes that he is not the master of the material world, but is only a servant of the senses. At that time, he begs for the service of the Lord and thus becomes happy without being illusioned by so-called material happiness. Maharaj Yudhisthira was one of the liberated souls, and therefore for him there was no pleasure in a vast kingdom, good wife, obedient brothers, happy subjects, and prosperous world. These blessings automatically follow for a pure devotee, even though the devotee does not aspire for them. The example set herein is exactly suitable. It is said that one who is hungry is never satisfied by anything other than food. The whole material world is full of hungry living beings. The hunger is not for good food, shelter, or sense gratification. The hunger is for spiritual atmosphere. Prabhupada italicizes that to emphasize it. The hunger is for spiritual atmosphere. Due to ignorance only, they think that the world is dissatisfied because there is not sufficient food, shelter, defense, and objects of sense gratification. This is called illusion. When the living being is hungry for spiritual satisfaction, he is misrepresented by material hunger. But the foolish leaders cannot see that even the people who are most sumptuously materially satisfied are still hungry. And what is their hunger and poverty? This hunger is actually for spiritual food, spiritual shelter, spiritual defense, and spiritual sense gratification. These can be obtained in the association of the Supreme Spirit, Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore one who has them cannot be attracted by the so-called food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification of the material world, even if they are relished by the denizens of the heavenly planets. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, it is said by the Lord that even in the topmost planet of the universe, namely Brahmaloka, where the duration of life is multiplied by millions of years by earth calculation, one cannot satisfy his hunger. Such hunger can be satisfied only when the living being is situated in immortality, which is attained in the spiritual sky, far, far above Brahmaloka, in the association of Lord Mukunda, the Lord who awards his devotees the transcendental pleasure of liberation. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanjadi Shatarine. So this purport is really, really something. It's really, really something. So many powerful points Prabhupada is making here. The first point that comes to mind is that the living entity is not the served. He is not the one who is served. He is the servitor, the one who renders service. And the proof is, even when he's not a devotee, serving Krishna, he serves his senses. You're either going to be Goswami or you're going to be Godas, you see. You're either going to be a servant of Krishna or you're going to be a servant of your senses. You cannot give up being the servant. You will be a servant no matter what you do, because that is your nature, to be a servant. That's the first point. So since I'm going to be a servant anyway, why don't I choose the best master? These senses, what do they give me? What is the reward for a lifetime of dedicated service to these senses? Old age, disease, and death. That is the reward. Is that something a good company to work for? retirement plan is old age, disease, and death. Or if you work for Krishna, if you serve God, you get eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So what's a better deal? Old birth, old age, disease, and death, or eternity, knowledge, and bliss? You see, it requires a little common sense to understand it. But the general population has no common sense. They are simply fools and rascals. Even our devotees don't fully understand the mercy available. Here's a holiday. Today's a holiday, right? Nobody has to go to work. How many people have come to class, the morning program, out of our whole community devotees here in Mauritius? Only a select few, is it? There's a huge community of devotees here. How many have taken advantage of this holiday to come for Bhagavatam and Mangalarti? Is it? You see, even our devotees don't understand these things fully. What it means to be the servitor of Krishna. Prabhupada makes a very nice point here about the whole material world is full of hungry living beings. And our hunger is not actually for these things. We think our hunger is for food, shelter, and sense gratification, but that's not our actual hunger. Prabhupada emphasized the hunger is for a spiritual atmosphere. But due to miseducation, due to poor training, we're thinking our hunger is for sense gratification. But that's not our true hunger. Sense gratification doesn't satisfy us. Even the most wealthy, famous people are miserable. Even Brahmaji is not happy. Simply by his material opulence. His happiness is Krishna consciousness, you see. So you can be just as happy as the Lord Brahma, the founder of our Sampradaya, if you are simply, purely absorbing yourself in Krishna consciousness. Material facility is not the point. But, as Prabhupada points out here, well, a very nice point. How that material opulence automatically comes. Where is that? Where is it stated in the purport? It's very nicely stated. Yes. The Maharaj Yudhisthira was one of the liberated souls, and therefore for him there was no pleasure in a vast kingdom, good wife, obedient brothers, happy subject in a prosperous world. These blessings automatically follow for a pure devotee. So, hey, just try to be a pure devotee. Just make that your goal. I want to be a pure devotee. Make that your focus. Every minute I must cultivate pure bhakti. And guess what happens? The prosperous things of this world come naturally to you. But here they're struggling to get all these material things, and they're never satisfied. But if you struggle for pure bhakti, your material necessities will easily come to you. That's the point. They'll easily come. As Christ himself says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. Same thing is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada comments on that verse. He says, Krishna will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. Krishna will personally deliver. But the trouble is, we're still hankering for material sense gratification instead of pure devotional service. That's the difficulty. Thank you, Prabhu. We're thinking, yes, pure devotional service is all right, but I need sense gratification, you see. It's time for us to come out of the neophyte consciousness, kick out neophyteism and come to pure devoteeism. We have to cultivate it. We have to desire it. I want to be a pure devotee. You see? That's what Prabhupada wants. That's what your spiritual master wants. He wants you to be a pure devotee. Because that hit to go back to Godhead, you have to be a pure devotee. If you're not a pure devotee, you take birth again in the material world, and your spiritual master is to come back to deliver you. So the spiritual master he'll do it if it's necessary. He'll take birth if necessary to deliver you, but he would rather you come back to home, back to God at the end of this life. You understand? So one should cultivate pure bhakti very seriously. Let my only desire be to please Krishna. Let that be my only desire. It's so simple, because as soon as you do that, everything else it comes. Everything else you need, it comes to you naturally. You'll have a good job, you'll have a good house, you'll have a good, whatever you need to serve Krishna in the best possible way, Krishna will give it to you. But just have faith in this principle that if I put Krishna first, everything else will come. In every step, always, how can I think, speak, and act in this situation which will be the most pleasing to Krishna? We have to think that way at every minute, in everything that we're doing. Devotional life means to be introspective, not just to be carried away on the waves of sense gratification. Vox populi, whatever is popular sense gratification, I'll just go with it like a stupid lemming, is it? Running after the crowd. No. We give up the association of non-devotees. We're not interested in that association. Asat sangha tyag. We give up the association of non-devotees. We're not a member of that crowd. We don't have to do what the non-devotees do. We don't care about what they do, except we want to save them. You see? We want to take shelter of the association of Vaishnavas. Because that's how we get liberated. If you associate with those who are liberated, you become liberated. If you associate with those who are conditioned, who are prisoners, who are slaves of their senses, you will remain a slave of your senses. So, one should be intelligent and seek his association very wisely. Sangat shandayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. So, here we have a very nice opportunity to associate by hearing with these great personalities like Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj. Through the medium of transcendental sound vibration, we are able to connect with these great personalities. Simply by, it's not ordinary katha. By hearing about these great personalities are actually present. And one can actually associate with them through the medium of transcendental sound vibration. By hearing about these great personalities, we are actually associating with them. So go on hearing from the liberated souls, about the liberated souls, and you will become a liberated soul. Do you want to be a liberated soul? You know, if you take the worm, you pull him out of the stool, what will he do? You let go, he'll flip back to the stool. You want to be a liberated soul? You want to be a conditioned soul? You see? Make up your mind. You want to be a liberated soul? All right, then do the needful. Do the needful. If you want to be a liberated soul, then you do the needful. You absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. You absorb yourself and keep yourself absorbed in that consciousness 24/7. Whether you're at home, whether you're at the temple, whether you're with your friends, whether you're with your family, whether you're commuting, whether you're at the grocery store, in every situation, keep yourself in that consciousness that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. You'll train yourself in that way. You won't be living in the material world. You'll be living in the spiritual world at every minute, associating with Krishna, associating with Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas at every minute within your heart. So choose your company wisely. Are you more interested in your friends and family? Are you more interested in the great acharyas? Whose association are you more attracted to? Friends and family are the great acharyas. It's your choice. No one's going to force you. Your heart, your mind, your consciousness is up to you. What do you want to do with it? Where do you put your love and affection? Where do you center your love and affection? On friends and family or on the great acharyas? Where do you center your love and affection? Of course, if your family is devotees, that's another thing. They're also connected with the great acharyas. The point is, we have to connect. Mahajano yena gatastapanta. One must follow the pathway of the great acharyas, not the fools and the rascals. Acharya marg. That is our pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Not Shvavidvara Ushtra Karai Marg, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. That path will not take us back to Godhead. If you follow the pathway of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, you become dog, hog, camel, and ass in your next life. So don't follow the pathway of dog, hog, camel, ass. You follow the pathway of Mahajanas. And then you become great Mahajanas. Any person, in any gender, in any race, in any country of any age can become a great acharya simply by fully surrendering to Guru and Krishna. Any person can become a great Vaishnava acharya. There is no limit. Simply by becoming totally sold out to Guru and Krishna. That's all. You become completely sold out to Guru and Krishna, and you will become a great Vaishnava Acharya. By your example, the whole world can be delivered. This we want. This caliber of disciples we want in this movement, who set such a perfect example that by their example the whole universe can become delivered. Prabhupada, confirmed by Prabhupada. He says that, this is quite an amazing quote in the CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that one who chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the entire world takes to Krishna consciousness. So, do you think that Prabhupada wants you to become an offenseless chanter of the holy names? Or he wants you to remain an offensive chanter of the holy names? What does Prabhupada want? So he wants you to be an offenseless chanter of the holy names? Or an offensive chanter of the holy names? Huh? Offenseless. So actually we're all meant to become like them. Powerful Vaishnava acharyas who can deliver the whole universe. We're all men. Every member of this movement should come to that position as soon as possible. And then we can quickly take over the world. As Prabhupada said, in 18 days we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. We just need that we ourselves can become actually fixed Pakka Vaishnavas, fixed in this Krishna consciousness. And then we can lead these rascals out of this chaotic situation and ever-increasingly chaotic quagmire that the world civilization is being sucked into because they're following the Rakshasa mark. It's our duty to save the world. Prabhupada gave us that instruction in December 17th, 1973 in Los Angeles. You come, Guru, and deliver the whole world. That's the order Prabhupada gave us. So how seriously are we going to take that order? We have to become pure devotees. Shuddha bhaktas. So I can ask if there's any questions. If we consider an ideal scenario, should the devotees marry or should they remain as celibates? The ideal is always to be, brahmachari life is considered the ideal. One can remain brahmachari, that's ideal, but it's not always practical. It may be too disturbing for someone to remain as a brahmachari. So let them get married. Peacefully live, wife and children. So everyone, that should be... let them be ideal brahmacharis and ideal householders. Not that we say everyone has to be a brahmachari, no. If you can remain brahmachari, that's very good. But better to be a fixed up householder than be an artificial brahmachari. It looks like when you all chant in kirtan, you seem to be crazy people. Oh yeah, we're definitely crazy. We're mad with love of God. That's our movement, to become mad with love of God. Then after you sit down, all seriously, when in class, can you explain this? In other words, we're going mad with bliss in the kirtan, and we sit down very soberly and seriously and talk philosophy. They're pointing, how is this possible? Well, I can tell you this, the more serious you are about this philosophy, the more sober and serious you are about this philosophy, the more you can dance like in ecstasy, like a madman. That's the reality. That's the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. You become very, very sober and serious. You can become the most ecstatic, wild singer and dancer. This is transcendental bliss. According to devotees, if I'm attracted to men but not to women, am I abnormal? This must be a male writing in, yeah. Because modern society now accepts us as normal people. So, here we have one devotee who is gay. Okay? He hasn't given his name on it, but actually, I have some disciples, some gay disciples, and they're wonderful. I have a gay couple that became my disciple. And now they're strict brahmacharis. And what I told them is this. I said, actually, in this material world, everybody is a pervert. The heteros are perverts and the homos are all perverts because they have sex outside of procreation. Anybody who has sex other than procreation is a pervert. I don't care if they're male, female, or it's male, male, or female, female sex. It's all perverted sex. Any sex outside of procreation is illicit. According to Vaishnava principles, it's a perversion. So, to me, it's not a big deal. If you're attracted to having illicit sex with women or attracted to having illicit sex with men, it's all illicit. So I don't cast you away as some kind of... We're all misfits in this age. You see, we're all running... Practically everyone is running after illicit sex, either with the same sex or with the opposite sex. So these two, this gay couple now, they're very good brahmacharis. Very first-class brahmacharis. And they remain together. They're both working men. They bought a house. They live together as good friends, partners in Krishna consciousness, following brahmachari life very nicely and working very first-class disciples. Very, very good disciples. So we make no discrimination that, you know, gays aren't welcome here or something like that. No. In this material world, everyone's a pervert because we're all engaging in illicit sex. Which someone may think, well, my illicit sex better than your illicit sex. Ha, 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 ha. What's the big deal, you know? I'm having illicit sex with women and you're having it with men, so I'm better than you. You're all rascals having illicit sex. I only have illicit sex with women. You have it with boys, so you're dirt and I'm great. That's nonsense philosophy. Anybody who's having illicit sex is a pervert. Whether you're having it with the same sex or the opposite sex, or you're masturbating, it's all illicit. Now, as far as married life? Oh, yeah, and marriage also. Your sex is only for procreation. And I'm very strict on this point. Some devotees say, well, within married life, it's okay, you know. Where does Prabhupada say that? Prabhupada never says that. He said, within married life, it's just like being a sannyasi, except for procreation. It's just like being a sannyasi. That's what Prabhupada says. So I don't go along with this new philosophy that's going around ISKCON, you know. It's nonsense. It's polluting our society by materialistic ideas. I'm married, so it's okay. No, it's not okay to have illicit sex with your wife. Prabhupada says you're turning into a prostitute. It's right there in Prabhupada's teaching. You're making your wife a prostitute. Don't make your wife a prostitute. One sannyasi said, I'm more strict than the sannyasis. But actually, I'm just teaching what Prabhupada says. That's all I'm doing. You want to taste the bliss? I'll train you how to do it, whether you're a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. If you want to taste the bliss of pure bhakti, I will teach you how to taste the bliss of pure bhakti. You can't have it and have illicit sex at the same time. It's not possible. You have to control your senses if you want the taste of pure bhakti. It's worth it. What is a little fleeting moment of sense gratification worth it when you can taste the bliss of pure bhakti eternally? It's not worth it. Let's see here. Now we have a question coming in from New Zealand. Often people will say that they are completely satisfied with their sense gratification. Are they lying, or do they actually believe that they are satisfied? It could be either one. Actually, they could be lying to make a show, but it's also Maya Sukhaya means illusory happiness. They actually think they're enjoying until the little bubble pops. Some, you know, devastating comes, like they find out they have terminal cancer or something like that. People go on in the dream that they're enjoying this material world. It's a dream. People do think they're happy. That's why it's Maya Sukhaya. How to make them realize that they are dissatisfied? It's not easy to do that. The best thing is to let them taste the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, which is more pleasurable than their sense gratification. That's the best philosophy. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Let them experience a bliss which is a million times better than their so-called bliss of material sense gratification. That's the best program. One has to come to Krishna consciousness for going back home, and they have taken shelter of the spiritual master. So why they do not want to go all the way for which they have taken this path? It's like Bhakti Madhurya Govinda was saying, there's two kinds of disciples. There's initiates and there's disciples. There are people who have taken initiation, but they've not really become disciples. They sat for the yoga, but they haven't really accepted the principle of what it means to be a disciple. Why is it? Well, it's not easy to come out of illusion. Krishna says, you know, manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchid mang mititadvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So out of millions of people, only a few will get initiated, and those who get initiated, even fewer will take it seriously. You see, that's the demographics of the material world. You see, so the spiritual master tries to preach in such a way that all of his disciples will take it seriously, but he can't force them. He tries to inspire them that now you've taken this vow, now you take it seriously. Because that's where the nectar is. Why drink poison of sense gratification when you can experience the nectar of prema bhakti at every minute? You see? Spiritual master, he works very, very hard to educate his disciples and the whole world that the sense gratification is nonsense. It's nonsense. Your real hunger is to reestablish your relationship with God, with Krishna. Will you please elaborate on the components of spiritual sense gratification? Satisfy Krishna, and you will become unlimitedly satisfied. Very simple. Okay, from Austin, Texas. We hear so much that sexual intimacy of utmost importance in a marriage. How to answer when people say that? Intimacy is an item, a necessary item in a marriage. Even as confirmed by Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport, intimacy is a necessary component of a married life. Prabhupada says, with intimacy and with great respect. Now, if I think that I'm the body, then intimacy means sex. If I think that I'm the body. But if I realize that I'm not the body, then intimacy means something higher. It means to hear and chant about Krishna together, husband and wife, to help each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. You see, that is intimacy. In fact, that is more intimate than sex, because sex is the bodies. It's all it is. It's like saying, okay, if the husband takes his shirt and he takes his wife's shirt and puts them together in the bed, is that intimacy? Their two shirts are together in the bed. No, it's not intimacy. It's just the shirts. So when two bodies come together in sex, it's just like it's two shirts sitting together in the bed. It's not the persons. It's the shirt, the garment. But when those actual personalities, the spirit souls, come together to hear and chant about Krishna, that's intimacy. Sex is not intimacy. It's illusory intimacy. It's not real intimacy. Because you're not the body. Real intimacy is when the husband and wife come together to hear about Krishna. You see. One of my godbrothers, Jai Gopal Prabhu, I associated with him in Austin when I was a new devotee. But he went back to Los Angeles after spending some time in our Austin temple, and he was killed in an automobile accident. Prabhupada told his wife, "He is waiting for you in the spiritual world." You see? So that is real intimacy. To be together in Krishna consciousness. That is real intimacy. So, if someone is too much on the bodily platform, they won't understand this at all. So it's not easy. Of course, we don't negate that sex desire. Let them use sex as it meant naturally. We don't negate it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I am prepared to have sex 100 times if I can produce saintly children. So we don't negate sex. Krishna says, I am that sex which is executed according to religious principles. We don't negate it. We say it is a gift from God for producing saintly children. If you have that inclination towards sex, then utilize it. Don't renounce it. Utilize it for producing saintly children. That way, that will be your perfection. If you utilize sex for producing saintly children, that is the perfection of sex. So we don't say sex is bad. Sex is beautiful when it's used properly. Sometimes it is said birth control pills and condoms don't grow on trees. They're not natural. That's a fact. You ever seen condoms growing on trees? A condom tree or a birth control pill tree? They're not natural. They're concoctions of the modern science. They are not natural. Natural birth control is abstinence. Not condoms and birth control pills and abortions. These are all sinful, Prabhupada explains. They're all sinful. All three of them are sinful. Condoms, birth control pills, and abortion, they're all sinful. They are restricting. The natural thing. During sex, the living being is living within the semina of the male. And in sex, he is now trying to get a body, come out and actually get himself a material body. He's hankering for that. He wants to get that. And then it's going to happen, but there's a condom there to block it. It's compared to you've taken a lease for an apartment, and you go there and the door is blocked. And the police barricade. You can't get into your apartment, even though you got the lease, you signed the lease, you go there to move in with all your furniture, and there's a police block on the door, you can't get in. So condoms are like that. They're blocking the living entity who has the right to actually enter into the womb and get a body. You blocked him. And birth control pills means you get in there and you find out the place was trashed. There was a fire and it was burned, it was trashed. It's unsuitable for living. So whether you use condoms, birth control pills, or abortion, they're all sinful. So abstinence or brahmachari, that is natural birth control. So, let's see here. How should a new joined person in ISKCON be trained by the senior devotees? Hearing and following the instructions of the senior devotees. That's how. We do have many friends at work, for example, who are not devotees. They also help us in one way or another, and it is at times difficult to avoid them when they come and have a conversation, which is not Krishna Katha. What to do in such a situation? Be friendly and turn it into Krishna Katha. An expert devotee, you can talk to him about any subject matter, and he'll get down, he'll come into that subject matter with you, and you'll feel really good. Well, we're having a nice conversation, and he takes the conversation, boom, 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 becomes Krishna Katha. Is somebody give an example? What someone might say at work. Some mundane thing one of your coworkers may say at work to you. What would they say?
When they discuss politics in the office, so you can turn down to say that the best king was Raja.
What would they, just give me an example of what they would say, and I'll be the devotee and I'll respond. You're the karmi and I'm the devotee. Now at work, we're co-workers, and what do you say to me in the office?
About the politics.
No, you actually say something as if you're actually in that character.
Okay.
Who are you voting for or something like that? Who are you voting for today? today's election day, who are you voting for? Someone might ask me in the office and say, well, I'm voting for Krishna. Because he's actually the only leader who can solve the problems of this country. I'm voting for Krishna today. But unfortunately, they haven't put him on the ballot. You, the rascals, haven't put Krishna on the ballot. But actually, I'm voting for Krishna at every minute within my heart. And you should join the Krishna party. We have a party here. It's called the Krishna Party, ISKCON. You should join our party. We're going to bring real leadership to this country. That's an example. So you can take anything. But it's anything else a co-worker might say to you, not election day, but some other thing.
Sometimes they go to the movies and they'll come and start talking about the movies.
All right, you ask them, here's what you do. Say, oh, really? You like the movies? Or which one did you just see? Tell me, what happened in the movie? Ask them, what was the story of the movie? You see, show an interest in the story of the movie and then take the plot and turn it into Krishna Gita. Yeah, I went and saw Superman or something like that, you know. And Superman was, he did this and that. Oh, really? Yeah, I think the idea of Superman is really cool. Really a cool idea. You know who the real Superman is? The Acharya. He who represents Krishna. He is the most powerful Superman in this world. You see? So, but whatever they're into, say, yeah, get into it with them and then transcendentalize it. You see? Don't go, don't reject them. That's Gramya Gita. I can't talk Gramya. No, don't say that. You get into it with them. Go, really? Yeah. And, by the way, then take them to the transcendental platform. You see the technique? You don't reject them. You say, that's interesting. Tell me a little bit more about that. You see what I mean? You get it just like a karmi. Get into it with them just like a karmi and say, yeah, that's really interesting. Tell me a little bit what happened in that movie. Or you went on vacation. Where'd you go? You went to Johannesburg? Or tell me, whatever they're into, get into it with them a little bit and then transcendentalize them. Show them your interest. And then you've shown interest in them. Now they have to show interest in you. Out of politeness. You were interested in what they had to say. Now they have to reciprocate and be interested in what you have to say. You see what I mean? So it's a nice technique. You show interest and get into it for a minute and then transcendentalize it. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, here's another one. Can we say that Dhruva Maharaj wanted broken glass? He certainly did. And he got diamonds? Yes, he certainly did. And we are getting diamonds and is searching for broken glass. Well, we certainly are searching for broken glass. You know, we're thinking about our sense gratification. And when can I eat? When can I sleep? And when can I get something going with that girl over there? And, when can I, and how can I defend it? You see, that's our mentality. Let's face it, we're like dogs. Sorry to say, but we're like dogs in the material world. That's our mentality. So we are going after broken pieces of glass. But by having come in contact with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What we have gotten? The greatest jewel. That's it, man. We're running after that eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. But by the mercy of the great pure devotee, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and those who are strictly following him, we have gotten the greatest jewel, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's a fact. Now a question has come in from Lithuania. How to develop patience and trust that I will see Krishna someday? Kambe habe bolo se dinama. When will that day be mine? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Aparadha guchi, shudaname ruchi, kripa bole hambe hrindoye sanchar. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? This is the prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is hankering for that day when he will see Krishna, when he will be fully absorbed in serving Krishna, you see. So, is he hankering? Of course, he's saying that prayer for us. He is actually experiencing Krishna purely at every minute. But he is showing us the mood that we should be in order to qualify ourselves to one day actually see Krishna and be with Krishna, you see. So this hankering mood is the key of how we actually qualify ourselves to achieve that which we hanker for. In the material world, it doesn't work that way. You may hanker for a million to be a millionaire. You go on hankering for millions of lifetimes and never become a millionaire, you see. But if you hanker for Krishna, you will get Krishna. That's the difference. In Krishna consciousness, the desire is all you need. You don't need any great qualifications. You don't need to be a great sannyasi or a great paramahamsa or this or that. All you have to do is sincerely desire to achieve Krishna. And it's assured by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yeyata mang prapajyante tangs tatayava vajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So it will come. It will come. You have to have faith in the process. Prabhupada gives the example. When a woman gets married, she cannot expect to have a baby the next morning. But she knows that now I'm a married woman, surely in due course of time I will have some children because I want children and I will surely get them because now I have a husband. But she can't expect to have them immediately. That is not realistic. So, the devotee knows, now I have taken to this process. I've taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. I'm going to get initiated or I'm already initiated. I'm seriously following this process. So, I'm sure, I absolutely know for sure that in due course of time, I will see Krishna. I'll reawaken and find myself reestablished in my original svarupa in Krishna's transcendental pastimes. I know it's there. I have faith in this process because every day I'm getting reconfirmation that by chanting this name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, I feel how I'm awakening a little bit more every day. Every day a little bit more. You see. Just like a Jewish businessman, another day, another dollar. You see. So a devotee, another day, a little closer to Krishna. I feel how I'm advancing every day in Krishna consciousness. If you don't feel that you're advancing, guess what? You're not advancing. You're doing something wrong. If you don't feel you're advancing, you're doing something wrong. Wrong means nama parads. If you will carefully avoid the 10 offenses, then you will feel how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. It's like when you eat, you know your belly is getting filled up. I don't have to tell you, Prabhu, you've had 10 plates of prasadam. That's enough. You will know, I've had enough. 10 plates was enough, you see. I'm getting filled up. I don't think I can eat. Don't, no, thank you. The server's come. 10 plates was enough, you see. So in the same way that when you get filled up with prasadam, you know you're filled up with prasadam. In the same way, when you chant Hare Krishna and try to avoid the offenses, you will feel how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. And if you don't feel you're advancing, you're committing nama-aparadhas. Study the list and figure out what you're doing wrong. If you can't figure it out, ask your guru or ask a senior devotee, what am I doing wrong? I don't feel I'm advancing. That's it. Or pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, please reveal to me what I'm doing wrong. I don't feel I'm advancing. What am I doing wrong? Please help me to understand. Because the fact is, you will advance in Krishna consciousness. Sat Krishna nama charitani satapya vinja pato ptata sharasha nachana rochikanu kinta vandadananu nikangjana shayiva jushra samikramad bhavita tadgalamula hantri. Shri Upadeshamrita Mantra 7. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, one who carefully chants these sweet names will become a liberated soul. Who carefully chants these sweet names every day will have that awakening of Krishna consciousness within his heart. So you just got to carefully chant Hare Krishna every day. It's all you have to do. Carefully chant Hare Krishna every day, and you will feel how that Krishna sun is rising within your heart, illuminating your consciousness, and empowering you with the ability to illuminate others by your preaching activities and by your example. So, we've gone a little over time, and of course there's no breakfast today, so it's not a big rush, there's no one wants to go to work. We could just keep going, but there's no more questions, so. There is a program here at 11 o'clock. I'm coming back at 11 at noon. Oh, I've announced it incorrectly then on my... You said 11 on the sheet.
Yeah, it was 11, but they have some change.
Huh?
The lecture will be after.
What time will the lecture be? Give me the time.
Lecture will be 12:30 after Arti.
12:30. Oh, I have to send a broadcast to all the people on the internet.
Arti will start 12:30. The lecture will be about...
1 p.m.
10 to
1 p.m. Okay, 1:10 p.m. For those who are on the internet, the next class will be at 1:10 p.m. Mauritius time. I will send a broadcast message, tell everybody what time that is in your time zone. So there will be a lecture today on Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance. Everyone tune in. If you're in the middle of the night, you may be able to do it. But 1:10 p.m. Mauritius time, there'll be a lecture on the disappearance of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Inspiration Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj Ki.